Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, transaction fraud is not only becoming increasingly sophisticated, but also more widespread. From fraudulent card-not-present transactions to account takeovers, the threats are relentless. As the adversaries grow more cunning, so too must the defenses of acquirers, processors, and payment facilitators. Fortunately, in this ongoing battle against financial wrongdoing, they're armed with a formidable ally, artificial intelligence. Joining me today is Amin Dalla, Chief Product Officer of Brighterion, a MasterCard company, and Brian Riley, Director of Credit and Co-Head of Payments at Javelin Strategy and Research. They're going to explore the pain points industry players are grappling with on a daily basis and shed light on the technology that's not just helping them keep pace, but leap ahead in the game. Amin and Brian, it's great to have you both here today. To start things off, Brian, can you speak to the main pain points acquirers, processors, and PayFacs are facing today when it comes to fraud and risk?
You know, the single most important thing in payments is the irrefutability of that transaction. And that brings you to an important part in payments because it requires that that transaction be valid by the authorized user and an authorized merchant to generate the transaction. So I'd say that's the overarching challenge here is to ensure that the system has integrity and the controls are in place to make sure that those transactions are totally irrefutable. Now, you have a lot of things attacking the system in many ways. You have bad players who seek to disrupt it. You have people that might go with outside the bounds of their credit lines or their available credit, people gaming the system. But having the fundamental controls there are really what distinguishes the payment process and an effective transaction through the whole system.
And I mean, what are you seeing in the space?
Yeah, so if you think about the key objectives for acquirers, merchants, or PSPs, their objective is how can they actually increase commerce? How can they increase revenue for the merchants and, you know, increase their toll rates? So it boils down to that. And in that frame of reference, how do they go about reducing fraud? And then if you break it down, then it comes down to the context within which they're operating. So there's a whole context of, you know, consumer behavior as well as the fraud trends. And in terms of consumer behavior, there's obviously increased digitization, increased usage of wallet payments or card and file for card-not-present transactions. There is also the wider use of installment payments or even account-to-account in certain countries. So that's there. And then coming on to the fraud trends, obviously, as Brian called out, basically there is, you know, fraudsters are using increasingly sophisticated techniques. They have a global ecosystem easily at their disposal in terms of resources, etc. And there's also the additional fraud vectors, which are always in continuum. So all in all, obviously, it's basically a very dynamic space, lots of growth opportunities, but at the same point in time, there's own challenges. But I think it comes back to the core, you know, for acquirers and PayFacs, how do we actually increase commerce, increase revenue? And while doing so, how do you actually go about and minimize fraud risk?
Right. I mean, let me tell you what really fascinates this business. And I've been involved in this business since the day of the flood. Everything that has to go on in the background to make it work right. Typically, the authorization standard is 4 seconds anywhere in the world for a transaction to go through the switch, to go out, come back, and settle at the merchant. And that's fascinating. But you think of all the stuff that has to go on to make sure that is the right person with the right merchant making the right transaction. Fascinating.
Right. I think it's a world which is absolutely measured in milliseconds now, you know, because customers don't want to wait and, you know, they want to kind of make the purchase, move on. And, you know, and it's up for the rest of the ecosystem to ensure that, you know, it's trusted so that consumers continue to transact.
And that's anywhere in the world, any time of day, any day of the year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You both spoke about the challenges that acquirers, processors, and PayFacs are facing. What technology should they be thinking about and really focusing on to solve for these pain points? And to kind of delve a step further, how does AI come into the picture? I mean, I'll start off with you first.
Yeah, so acquirers and merchants and are using PSPs are using a continuous solutions. They have been using, you know, rules management systems, which is a great way to address known fraud vectors. Obviously, as fraud patterns change, it becomes an effect. It also becomes a lag on operational performance. There is, in that sense, ventured into analytical models and which help predict fraud better. And then it's now more into leveraging machine learning and artificial intelligence, and also about enabling that with the ecosystem intelligence. So that's kind of the play where the ecosystem and the consumers working with it globally. In terms of, there are challenges as acquirers of PSPs look at moving along this continuum, especially as far as leveraging machine learning is concerned. First of all, in terms of the data itself, I mean, extracting data is a daunting challenge. You know, access to your data is not a given by any means. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that, Ryan. And then once the models are built, then deploying these at scale, you know, being what would be the ecosystem requirements, be it doing it on-prem or on the cloud. I mean, we work with customers for whom, you know, deploying at scale is a significant challenge, and that's exactly a key pain point for them. And then there's a whole aspect of explainability. You want your customers, well, in case customers have the transactions that the client, they're going to call them and figure out, hey, there's going to be a fair and a logical rationale as to why that particular transaction was declined or was put the way it is. And then there's the whole aspect of, you know, how do you actually, if we all are in an interoperable ecosystem, there is the ecosystem of the acquirer, it's the style of the issuing bank, and whatever solutions you have should actually nicely play out there. So what we've looked to do is, as we are building up our solutions out here at Brighterion in terms of market model transaction fraud solutions, we looked at addressing all these pain points and looking at enabling the solutions there with network intelligence, that is data beyond what a merchant X has or an acquirer Y has, or in terms of, you know, just enabling that, you know, quick go-to-market and having the solutions cloud-based. There's obviously the need, and as Brian, as you were talking about a little bit earlier, in terms of providing that real-time fraud decisioning. So those are some of the aspects, and those are some pain points, which frankly, key components of the solution, which you know, form the you know, kind of the core of the solution, which you look to solve for.
You know, one of the things you say there makes a lot of sense, and then too, is so many transactions go through the process that the importance of AI is to keep learning, right? It's not to have just a static model that says these are the exceptions we do. The more transactions that go through give the ability to learn more on what's a good or bad transaction. And the other thing you said that I just want to pull out is that if you do this in a box on your own as an issuer, you are limited to the information that you have. And your solution really uses a lot of the learnings you make with consortium data, right, to apply that logic throughout the cycle. That really helps make this more powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you see is there's a lot more happening just beyond your domain, you know, be it in terms of with other acquirers and merchants in your country or even across globally. Because if you think about it, the fraudsters are operating at scale and they're doing this, they're operating networks globally as well. So there are some quick learnings which you can get by leveraging insights which are non-resident in your own data itself. And again, culling insights from your own data can be a challenge, as we had spoken about.
Brian, how can increased access to global transaction data sources augment customers' existing data sets?
Well, when you put all these pieces together, you know, we talked a moment ago about consortium data and going outside your little world. Being able to keep learning as you do a transaction with everything you do, every approval you make, every declination you have goes into essentially a large knowledge base that lets it be levered for the next transaction. So being able to have that pushed through the organization and pushed through the whole transaction cycle is what helps AI become smarter and smarter. Just building the data is not the end of the journey. You have to apply it throughout the cycle and ensure that the authorization process just keeps learning. You don't want to be at a point where you tighten things up so nothing goes through. Right? That's the obvious conclusion if you want to stop all fraud, stop all transactions. There's an art and there's a science here. And the science part goes with the whole development of the models, the technology and the logic that goes into it. And then the art becomes getting that to work in a real-time business situation.
Yeah, it's all about that particular balance, you know, Brian, but which is so crucial to maintain for the acquirer, for the acceptance ecosystem, and frankly, the whole commerce ecosystem to succeed, to flourish. And that's a core objective. And that's the basis for some of the market model transaction fraud models which you come out with, because it really leverages the network intelligence which we have as MasterGuard. Because we're able to, you know, train the models on the over 100 billion transactions which you see as a network, and be able to capture those trends which exist across MCCs, across countries, as well as fraud trends as well, so that we're able to get all of these trends at scale. The other aspect is also being able to provide these at a timely fashion. You got to provide these insights pre-auth, which is when these insights are of value to the acceptance ecosystem. So the models can be called pre-authorization. But net effect is, you know, hey, they gear towards how do we actually drive both the top and bottom line for acquirers or a PSP or a merchant's business. If you starting from the top line, because that's where the money is, basically is say, let's reduce this false positives. Let's actually drive up approvals, drive up conversion rates. And then from a bottom line perspective, our models, which we built here at Brighteon, detect up to 30% incremental fraud detection over and above whatever is there in terms of the existing fraud policies or models which are there in place in the ecosystem. And this is something which happens, is a metric which holds good globally. So as you can imagine, that's a significant benefit to any business bottom line. And the core aspect is this is done with minimal impact on the customer experience. And then, of course, the core aspect which you got to talk about as well, it's not only that transaction at hand, which is at stake for the given merchant. It is the experience which the customer is having for that given transaction with the merchant. But importantly, it is also the lifetime value for that particular customer with that merchant. And this given interaction is going to impact the future profitability of that given customer with that merchant. So I think that's the perspective with which we have been looking at this particular problem.
I think that sums it up well. If you really think that this process affects everybody in the ecosystem, right? It affects the customer at the point of sale and what that lifetime relationship will be. It affects the merchant, certainly, who's trying to get the transaction through. It affects the issuer who's trying to build a portfolio and expand their customer relationships and the payment brand. So it's just not an anecdotal piece of the process here. It is a center point in one of the foundations of good credit management.
It's all about, well, not just transaction decision making, it's all about also entity lifecycle management as well. It plays a key role in that. Yeah.
I mean, for the acquirers, the processors, and the PayFax who are tuning in and listening and who are going through these pain points that we've spoken about, can you speak to how they can benefit from MasterCard's global transaction intelligence?
Yeah, so basically, as we were building this product, we wanted to ensure that we'd get feedback from the acceptance community. And that's why we worked with acquirers globally across every continent and gotten some core feedback, which is enabled into our product features. So I think the key principle was what we heard is, let's do this at scale, and your solution's got to be simple and easy. So our market-ready, transaction card models, bring the best of both the worlds. It brings together MasterCard's AI technology, which they've honed over the last couple of decades, and our fraud intelligence as well, which is enriched every year with over 100 billion transactions. So the combination of this kind of delivers exceptional accuracy, which we can enable to our customers through these transaction fraud models. So these are easily accessible via APIs. And they kind of check off on some key tenets. First of all, you've got to be very timeless. It's got to be pre-auth. You call it pre-auth before you submit an auth. So that's a given. Scale, if you are creating billions of transactions, that's what we do at MasterCard. We score over 100 billion transactions per year. We work with several acquirers who do tens of billions of transactions per year. So it's second nature to us. And that kind of works out to over 60, 70,000 transactions per second. So, but you need a provider at which actually needs to support you at that particular scale. We also looked at the user interface, and there is a need which we've seen from the ecosystem in terms of having access to an interface which is highly intuitive in terms of rules and case management, is so that they don't need to continue investing in one. So that's something which is enabled, highly intuitive and refreshed design of the rules and case management. And the same with business intelligence as well, a layer which enables you to simply drag and drop, choose your favorite views, if you all have our own. So effectively, those are some of our tenets which we looked at, checking off. And the core aspect is, hey, doing it at scale, keep it simple and easy. And, going by the whole concept of market models is just enabling that higher right from day one. In that spirit, improving the experience for merchants and consumers alike, just like you're alluding to, Ryan.
Thank you so much for sharing your insights and perspective, and thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes, and don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.